Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Bumming. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Ball Don't Lie, episode 123, man. We are here. I'm your host, Scott. You know, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChairScott. Got my co-host, Dante, in the house, man. You can follow him on Twitter and at October's Own Tay. Of course, you can follow the Barbershare Network on Twitter and Instagram at BarbershareNet. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, what the fuck are you waiting for, man? Subscribe. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. If you are a Patreon subscriber, we fuck with y'all, man. We got 60 subscribers. We're trying to get to June. Let's see if we can get that going. We fuck with all y'all. We got a new summer sessions. Of course, summer sessions. OT drops every Friday. By the time you listen to this, that will be out. So you can go check that out. Cinema with the Guys exclusive. We got seasons one and season two of Sopranos up right now. We're going to start recording season three next week. So look out for that on the Patreon by the beginning of April. Yeah, man. And we rocking. By the way, PSA for Ball Don't Lie. We'll be taking a 3-week hiatus after this week. Next week is, you know, when we come back, it'll be after All-Star break. Games don't come back till that Wednesday before. It's not really going to be anything to talk about. Week after I have my vaccine shot, I don't know what my side effects are going to be. I've heard varying. Yeah, I've had varying results. So if I'm like tired for 24, 36 hours, I'm not going to have the energy to record. So we will be back the week after. But I might be fine. Niggas told me my arm was going to feel like Mike Tyson punched me last week, and that shit didn't hurt. So we will see. But yeah, we'll be back the week of the 21st. We'll have a lot more to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So
I just think it's crazy. Like, and it just shows how wild America is. California, y'all at the point where regular people are getting the vaccine. Georgia's still at the point, G, where nigga, nobody's getting this shit. I know you talking about the plug. You can't even find the plug in Georgia.
Like, which is shocking.
It's fucking insane, bro. Like,
I mean, which is shocking because Atlanta, y'all should have access to. Yeah, LA, California is not really it. Really, California, man, it's the plug right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm 32. I don't know what speed. No, I don't even know how the niggas who got the plug got to me. I don't question God's blessing. So, you know what I'm saying? April 1st, nigga, I'm back out here. So I'm playing Gucci first day out. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give me a motherfucking haircut, nigga. I'm going back home next month, nigga, for a little bit. Holler at everybody who I ain't seen. Like, I literally feel like I'm getting out of prison. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm over here like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that this week. Yeah, I'm plotting out my calendar app already, nigga. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody who is, you know, getting their vaccine and, you know, doing the thing. Hopefully, niggas can have a little bit of a summer this year. But we got a lot to talk about on this episode. Unlike last week, we were, you know, grasping for straws on what the hell to talk about. I think we got a nice amount of things to talk about, man. Let's get into our usual weekly observations, man. Did you want to kick it off or you want me to go first?
I really only got one, G, but I'm going to let you go
first. Okay. All right. I just want to preface this. You know, I always got to throw out a disclaimer with certain things. I want to start this by, I'm a huge Damian Lillard fan. Let's get that very clear. I've been a Damian Lillard fan since he came into this league. But I'm at the point now where I feel like this nigga is reaching Chris Paul status. As in fact, I've never seen a nigga get praised more for not getting past the conference finals in my fucking life. And I'm just trying to figure out why. You know what I'm saying? I love Dame. I think Dame is great. I think what Dame is doing with the Blazers right now, without CJ, without Nurkic, is cool. It's great. It's awesome. But how many times are we gonna do this year in, year out? When the 2 years ago, it was like, oh, this is the year. This is the year. You know, there's no KD for the Warriors. They should be able to get them. Swept. Didn't win a fucking game. Last year, they were the it team in the bubble. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they're gonna take one. They're gonna be able to take the Lakers to six. They might even be able to beat them. Niggas won one game. Dame did a little shimmy, and we didn't hit nothing from them niggas for the rest of the series. I'm trying to figure, and this really comes down to who people like, and that's fine. I understand that's how it is. It's all about fans and really upbringing of how Dame made it to the top. And that's cool. Dame is my guy. Dame is in my top six favorite players in the league right now. I just want to know, it's going to get to a point eventually where you're praising him for all this, and then he doesn't get over the hump. And it's because he's a loyal guy or whatever, which I call bullshit on. If I'm Dame, the first chance I get, I'm getting the fuck up out of Portland, and I'm going to a team to give me a fucking ring. Because this is the – a lot of niggas say a lot of shit. Kevin Garnett said that for years. Oh, I'm loyal. And he knew he had to leave to get a fucking championship. And now today we see – by the way, Kevin Garnett's not getting his number retired with the Timberwolves for an extremely long time. And it is sad – because he hates that fucking organization. I don't know if you saw on his Instagram, like maybe like an hour ago, the sale with his team that was trying to buy the Timberwolves. This isn't gonna happen anymore. He was going in on the current owner, Glenn Taylor. It's pretty fucking nasty. But so I just want to know, like, you know, he's starting to get in that Chris Paul bracket. Well, we praise CP3 for not doing shit. And to be very clear, I actually fuck with CP3. A lot more than I did in past. I can respect what he does. What he did with OKC last year, what he's doing for Phoenix this year, and we'll get into Phoenix later, I think is great. But he ain't won shit. But see, what did Mike Singletary say? I want winners.
But see, I think that whole win shit thing goes back to the ring culture. Like, Damian Lillard ain't no loser, bro. He just ain't won a ring yet. And I mean, that's part of the grind that he talks about. Like, he don't have, you know, another superstar teammate. CJ is good. Nurkic is good. You know, Melo, get him a bucket, get them buckets when they need it. But he doesn't have a superstar teammate that he can lean on nights when he needs a night off, like other guys got. So, I mean, I just think it's too early to put him in that CP3 category. I see what you mean by, like, it's headed that direction.
I'll argue before CP3 got to Houston, which wasn't CP3's fault that they lost that series.
And he got hurt.
I'll argue that Dame got more talent than the fucking CP3 ever had.
I mean, Dame, he don't have a bad team, G, but look who he has to go up against. Like, whether it was the Warriors, whether it is, you know, the Lakers now, the Clippers. Like, it's teams like with two superstars. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so what, that goes back to what I'm saying. You're going to have to leave, brother.
You don't think he can get somebody to come to Portland?
Nobody's coming to Portland. There's a certain cities that niggas ain't going to. Portland's one of, and I'm not saying Portland's a bad city. I never been, but everybody who's been to Portland has given me great reviews and said Portland is cool, is real low key, and things like that. That's fine. But when it comes to an NBA superstar in today's game, really in anybody's game, nobody wants to willingly play in fucking Portland, Oregon. Nobody's going to Cleveland. LeBron had a hard time getting niggas to go to Cleveland, and he's fucking LeBron James.
I mean, I think Dame, and like Dame may not, we've seen the way Dame plays. He may not necessarily even need a superstar, but he needs somebody besides CJ. So I think he can get.
I like CJ too. I think CJ will be an all star if he didn't play out. If he didn't play out west, you know, CJ's issue is he plays out west, and out west is guard heavy.
I mean, the league is guard heavy. Period. So the league is guard heavy. Even in the East, I'm not sure.
CJ in the East is making it.
Not necessarily.
If I believe in CJ. If CJ wasn't hurt, I'd have put him over Tatum this year. If CJ's not hurt, I'm putting him over Tatum this year. Now, I actually want to give Tatum a little break because I think Tatum is dealing with the same thing Yoan Moncada deal with in baseball. If you look at his numbers, they have not been the same since he got COVID. So I'm going to give him a pass on that. He even said himself that he gets winded quicker, and I feel like that might have something to do with it. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying that, you know, Dame has been a product of unfortunate situation. They're not having the talent. But I argued 2 years ago, without Kevin Durant, that was as even as a playing field as Dame was ever going to win. And them niggas didn't win a game. Then there was one game. That was one game where Steph ain't have a point in didn't the first half.
But then Dame get hurt
them
though.
Niggas up, huh?
Didn't Dame hurt his ribs that series?
You know, he hurt his ribs at the end of the damn series when they was like up 3-0.
I know. I'm just asking questions.
That's like when Bron came up to after the 2000 with the fucking cast. Oh, like, yeah. Nigga,
he made sure he dapped everybody up with the other hand.
Yeah. And like, remember how Mahomes' mysterious knee. We get the real detail about his knee injury. The fuck out of here. So that's just my point. And by the way, this is not Dame hate. This is just stuff that I'm observing. Dame is my guy. I love Dame. If you don't believe that I called Dame, I would get my brother on here. I would told this nigga when Dame got drafted, Dame was going to be that next guy. So I'm just saying, it's just observation. My second observation is the MVP race. We need to stop naming five different people. This is a two-man race, in my opinion. Really, it's a one-man race, but there's one who's gaining momentum. I think this is Joel Embiid's award to lose. He's out there putting up numbers I haven't seen from a center in Jesus. Like, he's out there looking crazy. His skill shot, he's shooting more shots from the perimeter. That three-pointer he had last night against Utah was crazy. He's looking like he can be at the end, that end of game thing that the Sixers were looking for that they haven't had since Jimmy Butler left. Since we know Ben Simmons, as great as a defender as he is, which I think Ben Simmons, you could say maybe a top five defender in the league right now.
Number one, but yeah, go ahead.
You'll put him number one? I would. Out of all of them?
I would.
I definitely say he's number one.
Ben Simmons could hands down, like, when you watch the Sixers, Ben guards 1-5, like, and he does it.
1-5? I always
have guard. Ben Simmons
what
can guard.
Center? What I mean, center he guarding?
You got to think in the fact that they switch everything. So, like, in those points where if he gets switched off on the center, and, like, especially if it's an offensive center, he can guard that person. Like, it's not some shit where you got to, like, okay, Ben is fooled down there. Ben can guard anybody. And okay. I agree he's the number one perimeter defender in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
he's number
I'm not,
one perimeter.
Exactly. I'm not saying, like, it's going to be a game where they're like, all right, Ben, we're going to throw you on the center. Not like that. But, like, in those rare situations where he gets switched off, Ben is going to hold his own. And in situations where he's on the perimeter, he dominates. So, like, yeah. I would say Ben Simmons is the number one defender in the league.
I get that. But he has no offense, which has always been the, I guess, like, his, you know, Achilles heel, the main criticism of his game.
Yeah, no
but
jumper.
When you got Joel expanding his game like this in the fourth quarter in playoff games, because let's be real, there's not a center out there that's going to check that nigga, Joel. Gobert tried. He got hold. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody out there going to be able to check him. So if he can come inside and out, that's going to be very, very good for Philly long-term in the playoffs. But the guy who I think is also in this race, still got a little more work to do because of team record, Nikola Jokic, man. This nigga right here, man. He might not have the prettiest game, but it is buckets. There's not a nigga out there who can check him. Like, these are two of the best bigs in the league, in my opinion. Of course, we include Anthony Davis. But with, you know, these, they are definitely in the top three with Embiid, Jokic, Anthony Davis. Jokic, I saw he did to the Bulls. And Wendell wasn't playing bad defense. Wendell was playing good defense. It was just hand down, man down. Too big of a nigga. He did the same thing to Giannis 24 hours later, putting up 40 pieces back to back. So, and the Nuggets, who started off like 10-11 seed, they're moving up. They're at seventh right now. Of course, seventh through 10 seed is essentially the same thing now with the playing games. So it's really not that, unless if you're not in the top six, you'll be playing a win and take all type series any fucking way.
Exactly.
But if he can find some way to get Denver into that top six, been on a roll, their guys starting to get healthy again. Jamal Murray's actually starting to play like he has some fucking sense. I think he can make this MVP race closer. And those are only two names, man. I don't want to hear about Dame. I don't want to hear about LeBron. I don't want to hear about Steph. I don't want to hear about none of these other niggas. It's them two to me in this race. Uh-huh. And my last weekly observation is the NBA officiating is a fucking joke. It's always been bad, but it's been particularly bad this week. That fucking Devin Booker ejection was some of the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. As a Bulls fan, I see Zach LaVine get mugged all goddamn day. Don't get no fucking calls. I mean, the Bulls had like 8 fucking free throws the other night. Utah, I understand why motherfucking Donovan Mitchell was upset. Now, granted, he could have shot better than 12-34 from the field. That's a whole different discussion for another time. But the officiating was trash, man. It's got to get better. Nobody's coming to see you. None of these. In fact, there's nobody even in the fucking game. So even more reason why you're showing out. Play the game the way it needs to be played, man. Nobody's coming to watch these fucking officials. Let these niggas play. And those conclude my weekly observation.
You know, I feel you. I agree with a lot of that. I think one of my dark horses for MVP, even though, like we say, it's KD team, but it's James Harden. Like, if they can overtake Philly as the number one seed, which, you know, it's going to be close throughout the rest of the season because they're both playing really well. But I think with him damn near averaging a triple-double, if he keeps that up the rest of the season, really, you know, adopting that facilitator role while still getting buckets when they need him, I think James is going to be a dark horse for MVP because we know how the voters feel about Harden. You know, they've always the analytic dudes love him. And for him to be doing this at such an efficient clip, while I agree Embiid is definitely the front runner right now, if Brooklyn can overtake Philly, then I think James Harden has a shot to sneak in and get the MVP award.
And I don't think they're going to give it to him. He can definitely make it a conversation, but I feel like when you play with guys like that, it kind of takes you out the conversation a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because you are playing with Kyrie Irving. You are playing with Kevin Durant. Even though KD hasn't been there for a while, and I do think that, you know, this is actually a perfect segue into our first topic is James Harden went back to Houston last night, and it was a game that they were hyping up. I was like, I didn't watch the game because, look, Houston's ass. Niggas done lost like 12 in a fucking row. There's nobody even at the fucking game. So it's like you don't get the full experience of what it had been like with him being there. People would have booed him, they'd have cheered him, you know, see what their reaction would have been to a tribute video. It's kind of like when KD went back to Golden State a couple weeks ago. It's like it's not the same fucking thing. But somebody, I see a lot of pro-Harden guys on the timeline, and it's well documented if you listen to this fucking podcast or if you listen to Hoops and Brewers. I have not been a James Harden guy. But like I said last week, I think his game has changed. And everyone's like, oh, y'all giving him credit for shit he'd been doing. I disagree. I don't think he's been – I don't think – my main complaint with James Harden was two things. One, I felt like his style of game was disgusting. I don't like people who free throw hunt. Now, I'm not saying your job isn't supposed to get to the free throw line. You're supposed to get to the free throw line. That's more points for your team. But free throw chasing, you know what I'm saying, doing egregious shit, intentionally fucking flopping. He's cleaned all the air. Like we named the number last week. He's not even getting to the free throw line. You know, he's not having crazy free throw numbers as well. He's more efficient, I feel like, than he was in Houston. I feel like his game has changed a little bit. And ever since Kyrie has told him, you're the point guard of this team, I'll be the two guard, and everything kind of changed for him. And, of course, my second criticism about him was he can't get it done when the lights are bright in the playoffs. That is still yet to be seen. And we don't know yet. We'll know that this year. But I don't think the narrative has changed. I think a lot of people are just willing to want to get their takes off about how we're Harden haters, when that's not the case, in my opinion. I think if you look at the games that he's played with Brooklyn over these 2 months, especially over the last maybe month, like, I guess, it's been a lot more cleaner, a lot more enjoyable to watch.
I think I kind of agree with everybody else because, like, the hate was unnecessary. Even looking back, like, I could see why people didn't like his game, but, I mean, he was literally doing what was asked of him. Like, they said, hey, D'Antoni said, we're going to run this through you specifically. And that's why I didn't like a lot of the shit he said about, you know, I did everything I could do. We ain't going to win a ring. Like, they gave you everything you want and literally just bent to your will at every turn and gave you what you, quote unquote, asked for. And, you know, and shit went left and every person didn't want to play with you. But now in a situation, like I said, I think it's really more just his attitude. He's with the homies. And so with that, he's a lot more comfortable and he's a lot more willing to take a step back and do everything that Brooklyn Nets need him to do. And, you know, with Kyrie embracing him, saying, nah, you know, James is the one, you know, reassuring him in that way, he's really said, okay, since I'm the one, you know, I'm going to set the table, I'm going to do my thing. And so I think people do have a point. Like, Harden has always shown you versatility and what he can do on offense. And he's pretty much always done what's asked of him. And I know OKC was a long time ago, but he's shown you that, like, with playing with a KD, with, you know, he had rushed in, but playing with an explosive guard like Kyrie, he has no problem, you know, taking a step back and really doing what he has to do. Obviously, he was a much younger player, but I mean, even if you look back to his Arizona State days, you always saw the offensive capabilities from Harden. Like, that's always been there. And so I think right now you just seen him play at an elite level and an extremely efficient level. And I really think come playoff time, Brooklyn is just going to blitz people, G. Like, just when fully healthy, I think it's going to be ugly.
I think they're going to have to. I mean, if anybody was wondering, like, is KD going to have to, are they going to have to reacclimate himself? KD is kind of like a chameleon to me. That nigga can fit in everywhere. I remember the main thing when he was with Golden State when he first got there, like, how are they going to fit? There's one ball, which is I hate when niggas get, that's the number one shit I hate when a super team gets put together. That's one ball. Like, these niggas ain't pros. Like, these niggas don't know that everybody can't have the same amount of shots. KD's a guy, he don't shoot 30 times a game. KD's real efficient. He can get in what he fit in. And I think at the end of the game, it's going to get him a clearer option. I always say, I love Kyrie. I think Kyrie is a great fourth quarter guy. But look, man, in the game, especially in the playoffs, get that rock to KD. Get the fuck out of his way and get that rock to KD. You know what I'm saying? If he's not open, or if it's feel like a shot he can't, you know, he don't want to take. Of course, you always got Kyrie. I don't want James Harden taking any fourth quarter shots when the fucking playoffs begin. And I do think, yes, you know, Harden did what was asked of him by D'Antoni. You know, we can all debate about whether D'Antoni's system was flawed going back to the Phoenix fucking days. And it's actually kind of funny. I forgot D'Antoni's on the Nets staff. Yep. So that's funny when you think about it. But I just feel like it's been more – you know, my complaint about Harden, I never said the man couldn't hoop. I just felt like it just wasn't the most, you know, pretty thing to watch, I guess. You know what I'm saying? You watch Zach LaVine, you watch Kyrie Irving or guys like that. It's beautiful to watch. You watch Kevin Durant. You watch Kevin Durant play basketball, it's like watching poetry in motion. I got eyesores watching Harden.
I think it was really, like, the thing with Harden, his highs were high and his lows were low. Like, games when he was cooking, or like those fourth, like prime example, that fourth quarter against the Warriors, where he went crazy, like shit like that was good to watch. But when he had those off nights where he would just go foul chasing, like you said, shit like that you don't want to see. That's not fun basketball to watch.
Yeah, it's not fun. And I just feel like with this, it's more condensed. Like, I feel like, you know, he doesn't have to. If you want to say he doesn't, you know, maybe in Houston he had to do that because there's nobody else to offensively, you know, take up the load. Because even Chris Paul, that Chris Paul is not, you know, somebody gonna give you, go out there and give you 24, 25 a night. That's not his job. Not saying that he can't. I feel like if Chris Paul's job was a score, he could give you 22 a night if you want. I don't know if at this age, but at least prime Chris Paul could. But I think more his game is more of setting the offense up. So with this one, it just looks a lot more cleaner to me. You know what I'm saying? A lot more enjoyable to watch. I don't think it's just, oh, he's with Brooklyn now, and it's like, oh, yeah, I like his shit now. I just think it looks more attractive in my personal opinion.
Yeah, so that's real.
We're at the end of the first half, man. It's been a wild season. I feel like this has been the most forgettable NBA season so far. I think it's a mix of things. I think mainly, but COVID has something to do with it. You know, no fans has something to do with it. But I just don't like the game. We said this every week last week. I turned on the Rockets Warriors game last night after Snowfall went off, and it was like third quarter. And I shit you not, the first 15 possessions had to been 3-point attempts from both teams. And I'm just sitting here like, dude, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So it's just been one of those seasons where it's like, and I don't think it's gonna get. I think in the second half it's gonna get worse because you're gonna see more players tired. You know what I'm saying? There's gonna be more players. You know, hopefully not, but there's a chance that there's more players injured because you got. Adam Silver wants these niggas to play like five games a week.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of back-to-backs in the second half. A
lot of back-to-backs in the second half. And this is all dependent. We don't have a huge breakout after All-Star, you know what I'm saying, that we have to worry about too. You know what I'm saying? And we'll get into that in a minute. But as far as the first half, man, what are some of your surprising teams you've seen and some of your disappointing teams?
Well, I start with my disappointing teams. One team that's been disappointing is the Pelicans. I think we're really starting to see that Stan Van Gundy hire. Like, that may not have been the best move for a young group like that. They right now, they're 15-20. And, you know, you've seen how well Zion's played. You've seen Lonzo Ball improve. He's shooting 40%. Pretty much, he's shooting, I think it's like 39.6 from three at almost 8 attempts a game. So, you know, he's really turned it around and he's been performing well. But, you really haven't seen New Orleans take that step we thought they were going to take. You know, last year, we all know they pretty much invented this play-in format for Zion. And so to see them, you know, right now, currently, they sitting at 11, so they wouldn't even make the play-in. I think that's one team that's been disappointing. Dallas, you know, they've caught fire recently, won 8 out of their last 10, but they've been really disappointing. That was a team I expected to be in the top three race, and they're, you know, in the 8th spot. And so, you know, Utah, of course, obviously, we expected them to be good, but not this good. So that would be a surprising team. I think the Jazz are only going to keep getting better because, you know, you see Donovan Mitchell, he's really locked in, bro. I mean, you know, him coming out, making that statement about the refs, you know, like you said, they really fed up with it. But I think that plays well in the locker room. when your best guy is, you know, really going to bat for his guys and just showing and calling it out, calling the way you see it. And so I think Utah, that surprise, you know, like I said, I'm fully on board that bandwagon now. I think that's a good team that's going to be there in the end, whether that be the conference finals or, I mean, like I said, we don't know if they could get all the way there yet, but I wouldn't be surprised at this point with the way that they're playing. And so that would be, as far as the Western Conference, my disappointing teams and my surprising teams. As far as the Eastern Conference goes, the Hawks, you know, extremely disappointing. You know, they just fired Lord Pierce. You know, it was funny, you just mentioned foul chasing, and he talked about how he hated the way Trae Young hunts for fouls, and that's his star player. But I think what you're really seeing with the Hawks is that front office is going into win-now mode because they know Trae Young, he's already been rumblings that he's not happy. And, like, you know, he wants to win now, and he may leave. So they got to do everything they can.
Where he going? Where Trae Young? Trae Young got no leverage.
I'm going to say, which the fact, it sounds good, but then when you realize the fact that the team you drafted you has, you know, the whole
bet on yourself. When you a player, even in the player empowerment era, you were your regular team for at least 8 years, nigga. Like, you ain't finessing shit.
Yeah. And I know
you after a restricted free agent when you got some leverage.
I think we really starting to see these players start to speed that process up. Like, Trae would be the first. I'm saying Trae would be the first because I'm just talking about stars in general because you're seeing it now in football where, you know, people really just demanding trades and shit like that.
Yeah, but those two are really established dudes. Like, as far I like Trae, but Trae only been in his third year.
Deshaun Watson, define established. Like, we know he's
Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback in the NFL.
He's been in the league 4 years. Top five is stretching it, but he's very good.
Okay, let's get into the football band. Who's the top five? You got Mahomes,
You got Brady.
Yeah, you got
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm putting Deshaun in there.
I will put Russell Wilson in there before I put Deshaun.
Russell Wilson, Deshaun. It's my five.
We could find somebody else if we have a little more time. We're not in
now. You ain't putting Lamar Jackson.
We're not in football mode right now. I mean, it's debatable if you throw the stats up there, but we're not gonna do that right now.
One can throw, the other can't.
If you put up the touchdown to interception ratios and all of that, it's a lot closer than you think. But back to basketball. Like I said, they've been, as far as the Eastern Conference, the Hawks, extremely disappointing. The Pacers, I mean, even though they lost Oladipo, I still expected them to play. But I know that's a team that's been hampered by injuries. And, you know, they still...
I feel like the Pacers been hampered by injuries forever.
For years, bro. And they went from injuries with Oladipo to injuries. And, you know, Caris LeVert, the situation he had going on. The Miami Heat is another team that disappointed, even though, like I said, I didn't expect them to be as great as everybody else did, but you know, the injuries they've been
a lot really of injuries in them, a lot of COVID shit with them.
They've been
too,
really bad. Like, I think they're like 2-10 without Jimmy Butler. And so, you know, that's a team. My surprise teams in the East, the New York Knicks. Even though, you know, they're a 500 team, but they're currently sitting at the 5 seed. And that would be a surprise team for me. That's really about it. You know, Raptors, they're on that borderline because they've been disappointing, but they're heating up right now.
The Raptors are playing just like, I feel like the championship aura has been off. Yeah. And, you know,
and with rumors of them being sellers at the deadline, I think they actually might fall off. So,
my disappointed teams, man. Oh, were you done or did you have more?
Yeah, I'm done. That was
it. Okay. My disappointed teams, man, I definitely got to put Denver and Dallas in there as my top two most disappointed teams. Like you said, now, granted, both teams are getting better, and I do feel like when the smoke clears, they both will be teams that won't be one of them is going to be that 6 seed where they won't have to play in the play-in game because I don't believe in San Antonio long-term. You know, I think Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers are your solidified four, you know, 5 and 6 up for grabs, but I don't think Portland will you know, let that up, but yeah, those two would be the two most disappointing teams. I had Luka's MVP candidate earlier. While he still has been numbers-wise, is having a great year. You know, MVP, unless you're doing some wild shit like Russ did 4 years ago, you're not getting MVP without the team success. So those would be the two most disappointing in the West. Celtics, disappointed as shit. Very disappointed with the Celtics. They'll be my number one. I'm disappointed with Atlanta too. Not that much disappointed. I didn't expect for them to be like a top 4 or 5 seed, but I definitely didn't think that the Bulls are gonna be playing better than them. That's for sure. My most surprise teams. Philly's a surprise. Like, I knew Philly would be top four in the East. I didn't think Philly was going to be what they are right now, especially because I didn't really think they did that much in offseason. I mean, they got Doc Rivers, who's a solid coach, but wasn't nothing to, like, run home with.
They got some shooters in there. You know,
yeah, but did you think they're gonna be number one?
I didn't think Seth was gonna play as well as he had. You know, Danny Green is, you know, kind of shown some life. He had been on life support these last couple of years between Toronto and the Lakers, but Danny Green has been a good pickup. You know, Tobias here, shout out to Daryl Morey, because you know, he did, you know, what he did for James, yep. Harden, what he did for James Harden in Houston, he did that for Ben in Philly with just a lighter budget. You know, he just surrounded him with guys that can knock down shots, because you know, Ben ain't gonna shoot it, but he's a amazing facilitator. So, you know, you could definitely got to shout out Daryl Morey for that. But I agree that definitely didn't expect him to be number one. I could have seen, you know, top three, top four, just on how they played over the last
year. Yeah.
But number one, definitely don't.
I definitely had them top four. I thought Brooklyn would be better. I thought Milwaukee would be better. And I thought Boston was going to be better. So that's why I would have them in there. My other surprise team would be Utah. I mean, I thought Utah would be good. 27-9, but that's like best record in the league type good. I definitely didn't see that shit. And I think that would be probably be it for me. I want to say Phoenix is a little bit of a surprise. They're number two right now, but I do think when the dust settles, they'll be right where I expected them to be, which is like a fifth seed. So yeah, I can't really say that. New Orleans is definitely a disappointing team for sure. I thought with Zion being healthy for 1 year, with the hiring of Stan Van Gundy. I keep getting the fuck messed up, but Stan Van Gundy, I didn't think they would be as bad as they are. And I definitely thought they'd be more enjoyable to watch. That's not a fun team to watch. There's too many, you know, lane cloggers on that damn basketball team. So that's where I'll go with my surprising disappointing teams of the year. Let's get into our midseason MVP, or I mean MVP, midseason awards. I'll go over my MVP right now for the first half. I don't really think it's even remotely close. Coach of the year, man, you got to give it to my man who looks like a Batman villain, Quinn Snyder. You know, I think, of course, obviously for the Jazz hot start, I got to give it to them. Defensive player of the year, man, this is a tough one. There's like three guys I could give it to, but I'm going to give it to Ben Simmons. I think I'm with you guys who can guard the perimeter a little bit more impressive with their size. I feel like defensive player of the year is kind of like an MVP in the NFL, where I feel like the NFL needs to stop making that award strictly for quarterbacks. I feel like defensive player of the year shouldn't always go to big men. You know what I'm saying? There's guys who are also defending who are not also big guys. So I'm going to give my defense player of the year for the first half to Ben Simmons. Sixth man of the year. That's an interesting question. Who I would name as my sixth man of the year, because it's like, I feel like, you know, automatically, oh, nigga, give it to Lou Will. But I feel like this year has been like a little bit, you know, maybe, muddied a little bit. I'm trying to think. I don't even know who I could pick right now. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Kuz a six man? I feel like it's been solid. I think Kuz has been real solid. I think he's a six man.
Yeah.
I think he is. I'm going to give it to Kuz, man. If I'm wrong, fuck it. But I'm going to give it to Kuz. My most approved player, I mean, come on now. We already know what I'm saying. Zachary LaVine, bro. Mm-hmm. Give it to Zach LaVine. Most improved player. He's averaging damn near 30 a clip right now. He's very close to being 50, 40, 90. He's got the Bulls in the middle of a playoff race. Got to give it to my boy, Zach.
Okay. Yeah. For coach of the year, I'm going to actually go with Doc. If Philly holds on to get that number one seed, I think with everything, you know, with the transition from L.A. over to Philly, I would definitely go with Doc. My MVP, I got to agree. I would go with Joel Embiid. I think, like I said earlier, James Harden is my dark horse to get closer in that race. Sixth man of the year, low-key, actually, we tweak it. Jordan Clarkson is the sixth man of the year this year.
How did I forget about my man Clarkson? Did I ever tell y'all that funny story about Clarkson in a club?
No, go ahead.
So 3 years ago, it was my birthday. It was my 29th birthday. And I was partying in Playhouse. It's a club in Los Angeles and Hollywood. Any of you are not familiar. Lakers had a game that night against Utah. And I shit you not, we were at the bar across the street, maybe at like 8:30, 9-ish, when the game was on. We went to the club maybe like 10:30, 11. I shit you not, by 11:45, I see this tall, I see a tall nigga in Supreme just rushing in. I was like, nigga, I know that ain't Jordan Clarkson. I look at Joe like, nigga, the game ended 5 minutes ago. I fucking quick as that nigga get on the fucking plane. These niggas are playing in Utah. Wasn't in LA. These niggas are playing in Utah. I was like, nah, this nigga Jordan Clarkson is wild as hell. And that nigga had a shitty ass game. But that's just one of the funny things I think of when I think of Jordan Clarkson. But that nigga has been hooping.
Yeah, you know, he's another Kobe disciple, one of the ones that don't get mentioned, but you know, he talked about
it. He said Kobe told him he got to stop hooping like he light skinned.
He definitely relished those times with Kobe, and so you know, he's really performed well for you. So this year, that's my sixth man of the year. Rookie of the year, obviously LaMelo Ball. I think, you know, I think when Stephen A said he's who we promised Lonzo was, you know, that was kind of unnecessary. Like, we don't have to shit on Zola, give Melo his props, but he's definitely performed exactly how a lot of us thought he would. You know, I know a few people thought he was going to be a bust, but he put that talk to bed really quick, and he's played really well. What a most improved? Yeah, I would agree, Zach. I would definitely go with Zach. I feel like comeback player of the year is kind of too big for KD, but I feel like they're going to give it to him anyway. And am I missing any?
Yeah, I think. I think we hit them all right there.
Yeah,
we hit them all. I be forgetting how many damn awards that the NBA got.
Yeah. Well, no, like, defensive player. Did I say Ben that. Simmons?
No, you didn't. But I knew.
Yeah, I definitely got. Earlier. Yeah, I definitely got. Like I said, I was hyping him up earlier for a reason for this segment. I definitely got Ben as my defensive player of the year.
Funny thing about Ben Simmons is I don't really like his game, but at the same time, I would love him to be on the Bulls. Just, I feel like the Philly style doesn't really fit his game. I feel like if you put Ben around niggas who can just get buckets, you're going to get the most out of Ben. Imagine Ben was Zach LaVine. Then that nigga just D up, set the offense up, rebound. You ain't got to worry about scoring. And it also helps when Zach ain't trying to guard a chair, which happens a lot. So I feel like that'd be cool too. I just feel like with Philly, it just – this shit is going to tell me a lot, Phil. We're going to see how far Philly goes because I feel like they're close to having to make a decision between Joel. I mean, it's an easy decision. If I got to keep to it, give me Joel. I mean, and I've been screaming this for years, nigga. Like, you keep the guy who's, you know, dominating like this. But, yeah, man, I think that's a – those are some good picks. Those are some good picks for us right there. Let's talk about All-Star. All-Star weekend. Well, it ain't All-Star weekend. It's All-Star day, nigga. It's coming up this Sunday in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm going to say, no, it's All-Star weekend. These niggas.
I was about to say, what is the temperature in Atlanta right now?
Well, they shot up some club earlier today. So,
okay, so the feeling is being restored already.
It is spicy early. But, they got a full slate of events, bro, all over the city, and, like, a lot of them, and, like, a lot of big names are here. So they definitely ignored the CDC, motherfucking – Adam Silver, Keisha, they ignored everybody. So it's going to be interesting this weekend because it's definitely a lot of people here, like a lot of people here.
Now, are there like clubs? I mean, are there like parties in like all the big clubs, or these just like a lot of individuals? I know the NBA was like mad that people are trying to put the All-Star logo on their flyers and shit.
Oh, no, bro. These are like they saying like, you know, All-Star weekend, like come kick it. Like they're not, you know, pushing these as regular club nights. They're like, nah, this is for All-Star. They got like big names coming to perform and shit. I know Future's doing a couple of joints. The Migos is, of course, they from here, so they here. They got Tory Lanez coming to some shit. Like it's a whole bunch of foolishness going down this weekend. So everything the NBA tried to stop, they did not stop. That shit is definitely happening.
Everybody out there, stay safe, man. But on the basketball side of things, we got All-Star Day. So on Sunday, they're going to be doing the skills challenge, the three-point contest, the dunk contest, and of course the actual All-Star game. Usually we had that shit, you know, separated on different days, which is kind of like the fun part of All-Star weekend. Now it's all getting condensed into one fucking game, man. This year, only three contestants is Cassius Stanley, Obi Toppin, and Anthony Simons, who's going to be in there. That's That looks like it's gonna be hella ass. Like, there's a lot of in-game dunking ass niggas on there, man. The three-point contest is it's a lot more stacked. Let's see who we got here on the roster right here. I just had it fucking link. Okay, so it's going to be Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Steph Curry, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. That's a nice little lineup. And then after that, of course, will be the All-Star game where a couple of them niggas in the fuck in those competitions will be playing actually in the game.
But you forgot the skills competition, which is actually going to be very solid too. They got Robert Covington, Luka, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, Sabonis, and Vucevic. So it's also wild. It's three big men in that joint. But I mean, I just showed you the modern NBA, but the skills challenge over the last few years that has been sneaky decent. So I think that's another good lineup.
The skills challenge for me has always been if I'm at the bars when I refill, when I'm at home, it's a bathroom break. Like, I never cared about like who got the best handles and who can put shit through cones that you got when you driving trying to get your fucking license. But you know, but then the dunk contest has been ass a lot of these years. None of this shit this weekend excites me, and I'll be very clear. I don't even know if I'm watching this shit. Like, if I have nothing else to watch on Sunday or nothing else to do on Sunday, I might tune in for a little bit. I feel like the game will probably be regular like it used. I'm not expecting the game to be that much different. You know, it's an exhibition game, and I feel like once the competitive juices start rolling, people aren't going to be giving a fuck about certain things. But it's just, every time I think about All-Star Week this week, it's just like, nigga, we are not supposed to be doing this, bro. We are just not supposed to be doing this, man. It is just a waste of fucking time. You're going to have – if you think about Adam Silver's thing, you're going to take – you've had, 30 – I think it's like 38 cancellations this year.
Yeah.
Which they are making the NFL – and the MLB look like they handled this shit well, and that's terrible. 38 cancellations, and you're taking the league's elite and bringing them to a Rona hotbed for an exhibition game. Let's think about how fucking stupid this is. And if you're the NBA, you got to hope they don't have ramifications after this shit. Like, is there going to be anybody in protocol? How many games, how many more cancellations are we going to have with even big names? And I think then they have this little rule. They say they want all players, participants, and family members in the hotel by 7 p.m. on that Saturday. Good luck. Good luck on trying to get them niggas to be in the hotel 7 p.m. That's number one. Number two, you think these niggas not going to party on Friday night? Think these niggas not going to be going to day parties and shit doing a day on Saturday? Come on, man. What are we doing here? And the bubble is easy to contain because nobody's trying to go out to Disney World. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are in Atlanta, fucking Georgia. You know what I'm saying? There's gonna be some niggas gonna break protocol. Nobody gives a shit, man. Now, of course, you had your guys like LeBron and stuff like that who not gonna do that. You know James Harden hitting these Atlanta streets this weekend, G. You know this nigga Harden hitting these streets. There's gonna be other niggas gonna be hitting these streets. And I'm just really interested. I'm really interested to see the fallout of this game more than the actual game. Last year, I thought the little game format was kind of stupid, but it ended up being very, very entertaining. One of the best All-Star games that I can remember. Now, granted, I was extremely drunk when I was watching this game because I just came from a day party in Chicago during All-Star weekend. And so from what I remember, it was a good game. But this, I'm not really expecting much.
No, yeah, G. I feel like between that and, you know, just the player's attitude about most of them just don't even want to fucking be there.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't want to be there, but then you tell them, hey, you got to, you know, follow all these rules and protocols. I know we saw Zach LaVine. You got first-time All-Stars like that who I think will be excited and try to put on a show. But overall, I think I said, like we said, it's going to be a glorified exhibition until that – well, I mean, it is a glorified exhibition, but I would say it's not going to be a lot of effort put in until maybe that fourth quarter when it's like, all right, let's just get this over with and get out of there. So, I mean, like you said, I'm not really looking forward to it. I haven't looked forward to an All-Star game in years. But this one certainly is going to be lackluster as far as I'm concerned. And having it smashing all the events into the halftime show, that may add a little bit. But like you said, outside of the three-point competition, people won't be looking forward to this shit too much. So, like, I mean.
Who's in the halftime show this year?
I mean, are they even having one because they having all this all the events
and
shit.
They got niggas like performing the national anthem and shit, like different celebrities and shit. But
yeah,
I don't think there is a.
I don't think you can do a halftime show if you're doing a dunk contest, 3-point contest, skit. This shit is silly. And then, no, I say that for my goofy mark of the week, but yeah, no. All-Star Weekend, this shit is
dumb. Yeah, man. If the NBA better hope that there's not any good content on HBO Max this week. That's all I'm going to say. Let's move on to the Chicago Bulls, man. All-Star break is here. We are 16-18. We're like at the 10th seed right now, which, of course, I keep saying 7 through 10 are all essentially the same thing. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be playing play-in games for those last two spots any fucking way. 16-18, they're sending Zach LaVine to the All-Star game. For the first half, I'm going to say this about the Bulls. I think it has been a pretty decent first half. Now, I love how Billy Donovan said in his press conference last night after they barely beat the Pelicans, almost blew a 20-point lead, that, yeah, we're still two games under 500. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing to get excited about. We got a lot more work to do. So, this team could easily be about 3 or 4 games over 500. Number one, they're number two in the league in the most clutch situation. So they've been in the second most close games in the league. They've got to get much better execution-wise in the fourth quarter. They essentially gave the game away to Phoenix like a couple days ago when these niggas had 9 turnovers in the fourth quarter, which goes back to them needing a point guard. They gave a lot of games up. So the Bulls could easily be 3 or 4 games over 500 right now. They're not. But I think for the most part, they've played well. If you tell me right now that we'd have been 16-18 at the break, I predicted 30 wins for them in our preseason special. They're on track to get that. We've got 40 more games left. They're on track to do that. And by the way, I do have a bet with Pavi. Pavi, dumbass, aka I call him the leader of the Sons of Boylan, who thinks that the Bulls aren't going to have a better record and a better win percentage than they did last year. I bet 2 bottles with this nigga. And not only am I going to get these 2 bottles, I'm going to collect on air on Hoops and Brews, because I'm getting my vaccine in 2 weeks and I'm pulling up to watch this nigga pay when the end of the season happens. By the way, I am undefeated in bottle bets with this nigga Pavi. Undefeated. I remember when he said that the playoff P, Melo, and Russ team were going to the West Conference Finals a couple years ago. So I am looking forward to that. But I think there's a lot of ways this team go. I think they're obviously going to be in a playoff race until the end of the season. Does Arturas Karnazovas make a move? There's been some rumors about Lonzo Ball from Shams. There was a rumor out that came out today about the Bulls maybe being interested in Andre Drummond. Don't know if I really like that. I mean, if they'll take Otto's contract and we give him a second rounder, I'll take him. He'd come off the bench. But to me, Andre Drummond is the nigga who puts up the most useless numbers I've ever seen in my life. Like, he'll put up 20 and 20 and have absolutely zero impact on the game.
Yeah, I mean, and he's very turnover prone, but I mean,
yes, which we already have a problem with.
Yeah, and we've talked about how we need a big, but I don't know if Andre Drummond would be the answer for that. Like, I know Cleveland's gonna hold on to Jared Allen, but I would love the Bulls to get somebody like that, but that ain't happening. So, but yeah, I agree. I think I love Billy Donovan, what he said as far as, you know, we 16-18, we 2 games below 500. It's not nothing to be excited about. You need that mentality from the coach, and I think Donovan this year has shown you can have that mentality without doing all the extra shit that Jim Boylan was doing. You know, that wasn't going to work with these type of players in today's generation. And so, haven't seen them buy in. I really like his rotations, even though, you know, he says he goes based off feel in the game. But you started to see him come with a more defined rotation, and the Bulls have responded to that. And so, I think AK is going to be, a semi-player, you know, in free agency, because I believe the Bulls do want to get better, but they're not in a rush to do it. And so if they have to wait until this offseason, and I think this offseason you will see a lot of turnover on the Bulls roster.
Oh, I can guarantee you 75% of this roster is not going to be here next year.
Yeah,
I think the only niggas I could probably bet that's going to be is Zach for sure. Pat Williams, I'm pretty confident about. Anybody else is a toss-up.
Yeah. Like, I think this year was really to see, okay, is Zach our guy? And now that they see that he is, they're going to extend Zach, even if he does, you know, a 1-1 or he goes for the full 4 max. But other than that, like you said, bro, a lot of these motherfuckers can go. You're going to get all those money and be off the books. I think that'll be off the books too.
That'll be off the books. Temple only signed a 1-year deal. The Bulls, I think, they'll have the most cap space next year. Yeah. Now, there's not any big-time free agents out there, but there's a lot of trades I think you want to pay attention to. I'm monitoring that Karl-Anthony Towns situation, brother. I'm really paying attention to that.
Yeah, and you know him and Zach are good friends.
He's already getting booed out there. We already know that the Timberwolves have shitty ownership. It's kind of crazy to me that Cat and D-Lo only played 5 games together. Like, I forgot D-Lo's in the league. That nigga's been hurt all damn year. So that's interesting right there. You always got to be prepared for the next disgruntled star. Definitely. And also, I keep telling you, this 2023, summer 2023, 2 years from now, Jokic will be a free agent. Jokic will be a free agent. AK drafted that man. Chicago is a much bigger market than Denver. Not that somebody like him probably care, but that's somebody who you could probably target. There's going to be ways for you to get that to build a competitive team. We see the East is trash, nigga. And garbage.
I got another one for you. And I know we talk about how he love home and all that shit, but Kawhi hasn't re-signed yet. Like,
this is also true.
Kawhi has not re-signed yet.
Kawhi has an option this offseason.
Exactly. And that could, and like, depending on what the Bulls show, you know, you can get Kawhi.
Depending on how the Bulls show and also how the Clippers season is. If Paul George goes out there and huffs the joint up again, Kawhi, I'm like, all right, maybe I teamed up with the wrong nigga.
I'm out this bitch. And that still gives Kawhi, you know, the big market, you know, which I can't even say he's really, you know, shown that he really needs that, you know what I'm saying? Or that's what he wants, you know what I'm saying? New Balance has done a great job with, you know, the marketing on his shoes and shit like that. But he hasn't really had no major push. And I'm not even sure that's something that he wants. So as far as just playing for a contender and still being in a major market, Chicago offers both of those. Just in case that's something that he's really, really looking for. I feel like with Kawhi, it's always going to be the team aspect of it. Like,
yeah.
They spoke on the people he tried to get to come to Clippers with him. Paul George wasn't his number one choice. So, you know.
Who was his number one? Jimmy Butler? I think it was Jimmy Butler.
It might have been Jimmy. He called a couple people before he called PG. But
I think. And I mean, that would be nice. It would definitely help our defensive situation for sure. That's definitely something to pay attention to right there. And to go back to what you were saying about, you know, the trade deadline, I think the Bulls will be, they're going to monitor the situation. One thing I love about AK, one thing I love about Mark Eversley, they don't say shit. You never know if he's on these niggas' mind. You know what I'm saying? Hey, bro, remember that little, they're going to trade a second. They're going to trade their fourth pick and win the Carter to move up to get Wiseman. And then after the draft, it's like, nah, we never even had talks about that shit. Like, this is our guy to begin with. So we don't really know. I feel like AK said something in his press conference this week that stood out to me a lot. He said that there's going to be a lot of teams who feel like they're going to be able to make playoffs with the play-in tournament now. There's going to be a lot of teams who aren't willing to part with pieces. And, you know, he was really saying that in the games that Lauri Markkanen has played, he has done well, which is true. In the games that Lauri's played well, I think he's been pretty decent. Now, the key problem with Lauri is this nigga can't stay healthy. He's been hurt ever since he got to the league. So how much can you really depend on him? I feel like he's going to treat Otto and Lauri coming back as maybe trade additions if they can't find something. I do feel like there can be a trade to be made if he feels like there's a way to get it without doing too much. So that's going to be interesting. I feel like this trade deadline in general is going to be interesting because that AK point is something I didn't think about. There's going to be a lot of teams I don't feel like will be willing to sell because they feel like they can actually make the fucking playoffs. Kind of like last year's MLB deadline with the expanded playoffs. We didn't really see any movement at all. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be something I think is important. But overall, man, I give the Bulls a B- for the first half, to be completely real with you. This has probably been the most enjoyable first half of Bulls basketball to watch in a while. Now, granted, the bar is in hell with the last maybe 7 seasons we watched from this team. But they've been enjoyable. You know, I think they got to get better in a lot of aspects. They're a real young team, but I feel like they're enjoyable. Wendell Carter Jr., I think he's played well. I think the two biggest things is things he can't control. He's short and he got small hands. He wasn't like the – when Jokic cooked him, it wasn't because of lack of effort. It's just you can't do nothing with this big nigga.
Right, you'll give him that. He doesn't get cooked. I'll say that. He doesn't get cooked because of lack of effort. Like, he's really showing flashes. He is a quality defensive player, you know. He's not like some players who are just completely useless on offense. You know, he's – can get you some buckets. So, like I said, I'm going to lay off Wendell Carter and see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's not here when the season's over.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to watch, man. I'm really interested by everything with this team and seeing where we go forward. Let's go to our weekly power rankings, man. I will let you go first. I went first last week. Who do you have in your top five?
Give me 1 second. My top five. First of all, I gotta go fifth. This week is kind of rough.
Yeah, but, this week I had a hard time putting mine together this week.
Because a lot of teams that were on major win streaks really, you know, fell off. But I'm going to go with fifth. I'll go with the Portland Trail Blazers. And that's, I feel like Dame, you know, they're 6-4 in their last 10. They've won 2 straight. Dame is really coming on. I think that's – I didn't mention him earlier, but probably mainly because of that record, he won't be able to get into the conversation. But that's the guy, if we ever actually eliminated this bullshit narrative, you know, he would get more MVP votes this year. But Dame has been definitely hooping. But I got them at fifth. I got got Milwaukee fourth. I know they lost 5-5 in their last 10. I got them fourth right now. I'll keep the Clippers at 3. I got Phoenix at 2. And I got Brooklyn at 1. You know, they 9-1 in their last 10. And like I said, James Harden's been playing out of his fucking mind in his new role. So I got Brooklyn at 1.
For my 5, I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks been playing a lot better. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Milwaukee, we talked about him. You tweeted me like, every time we go in on the team, they go on a little win streak. Now, I went back and, you know, did my Googles. They just got their ass kicked by Denver at the crib by like 30-something points. And even that 5-game win streak, I mean, they had a good win against the Clippers, but besides that, there's a lot of bum slang. So I'm not going to give them too much. But I'll put Milwaukee at 4 for winning 5 of their last 6. Number 3, I'm going with Denver. Denver's going on a little run right now. They went from like 11th or 12th seed up to 7th right now. I do think that they will be in that top 5, top 6, that they want to play a playing game by the end of the season. I think Jokic went from a guy who I didn't really like enjoy watching to where like he makes me want to watch Denver Nuggets games now. So I'm going to put the Nuggets at 3. 2, I'm going with the Phoenix Suns, man. Phoenix is out there hooping. Phoenix is out there taking care of their business, man. Devin Booker's hooping. Chris Paul's hooping. DeAndre Ayton, the best thing that ever happened to this man was Chris Paul. He's out there playing, you know, even though he looks like he's 38 fucking years old, he's doing good. Phoenix right now is the 2 seed. They just had a big win over the Lakers the other night. Even bigger when you consider that, you know, Devin Booker got ejected for absolutely fucking nothing. I'm going to put them at 2, man. Utah's not in my 5 this week. Them niggas are coming back to earth. I want y'all to pay attention. Now, when I mean by coming back to earth, I still think there's a good chance that, they're going to finish 1 or 2 seed. They're coming back to earth. 1, Brooklyn, for like 3rd week in a row. I'm telling y'all. What we are watching here right now is something very scary for the NBA. When Kevin Durant comes back, and I do think we need to pay attention to the buyout market because I do not think this will be the final product. When Kevin Durant gets back, when Jeff Green gets back, if they can go get a guy like a PJ Tucker, if they can go get them, you know, any one of these centers who are going to be cut, if they can't find, you know, somebody to plug in, they're already playing better defensively. We haven't said, oh, damn, these niggas don't even try on defense, I think for at least a month. Like, they've really, really been getting them better with them. They can score with the best of them. Bruce Brown, to me, is, you know, an unsung hero of this Nets team. Joe Harris is hitting everything. Harden's playing like MVP. Kyrie is doing Kyrie, and we still got KD coming back, bro. They are my 1 team right now. I think that, health permitting, this team is going to win the NBA championship. I don't give a fuck if Anthony Davis is 100% healthy or not, which I do not think he will be 100% for the rest of the year. But even if he comes back, Brooklyn, man. Because I'm not 100% sure that Clippers-Lakers is going to be a dog. Well, even though I feel like the Clippers need to really, really get a point guard too. There's 2 teams we need to be trying to get a point guard during this trade deadline. It's the Bulls and it's the motherfucking Clippers. I feel like the Clippers need it more than the Bulls because the Bulls don't have championship aspirations. They can still, you know, maybe send an offer sheet to Lonzo during the offseason. Clippers need it badly. So that's my 5, man. I'm going Brooklyn 1. I think Brooklyn's holding it down right now. Let's close this out with Goofy Mark of the Week. There's so many ways. So many ways I could go with this one. I had a lot of ways to figure out who I was going to pick. But I'm going to go with Space Jam 2. And this is why. This is why. It's not for your regular thing. Of course, I feel like LeBron needs to get his own shit. That's a whole nother discussion for another day. You know, you already took the man's number. Now you want to take his fucking movie. But my main point is this. It has nothing to do with the actual movie. It goes back to the first one. Like, the Space Jam images came out, which looked like egregious CGI. But this isn't cinema with the guys. Ava's like, oh, this shit's going to be way better. You know, Space Jam 1 was trash. There's a couple problems I have with this. Number one, a lot of you young niggas on the timeline don't even remember when the fuck the first Space Jam came out. Because I was like 8 or 9 years old when this shit came out. And I'm older than a lot of you motherfuckers. Number two, it's a fucking kids movie. When you were eight, if you were eight, and if you were born in the late 80s like me, if you were born anywhere from 1986 to about 1990, I even give, yeah, 1990. If 86 to 1990, you're born in that little four-year run right there. Michael Jordan, who was like a god to us at the time, Bugs Bunny, who was like another god. That's like the best combination at the time. It was a big thing. You get to see one of your favorite cartoon characters, your favorite basketball player in the same movie. You want to think about how it looks in a cinematic setting. We didn't give a fuck about plot.
What's the dialogue about, gonna be?
We couldn't give a fuck that Mike couldn't out-act a chair. Nobody gave a shit about that, nigga. We was 8 or 9 years old. So I don't like this, this revisionist history, or niggas who weren't even alive or even able to talk when this movie came out, to act like, we need to be judging this movie. It's a fucking kids flick. And if it wasn't such a big culture movement, LeBron wouldn't be making that shit right now. Let's just be all the way real. Like, Don Cheadle was like, oh, we had to make the acting a little better. It's a kids movie, nigga. Who gives a shit? And I guarantee you, the kids who watch Space Jam 2, it's not for me. I'm a 32-year-old man. What the fuck I look like watching Space Jam 2? This is for the children.
Right.
They don't give a shit that LeBron can't act. It's their hero.
Motherfuckers want Denzel Washington to come down out the motherfucking spaceship and give you a monologue. Like, no, it's not that type of movie.
Y'all didn't say the backstory of Marvin the Martian. It was 45 minutes in, and I don't know where Elmer Fudd's backs up. Yeah. Hey, get the fuck out of here, man.
Where are the Monstars getting this anger from? Like, right. It's not that type of movie. Like, watch the fucking movie. The
Monstars supporting genocide, my friend. Get the fuck out of here, man. So I just want y'all to stop. And this goes back to just even in general, like with leave classics alone. I feel like LeBron, leave that movie alone. Just like leave Coming to America alone. We don't need a Friends reunion in 2021. I don't need motherfucking. They redoing Rugrats.
But they doing a Real World 30-year reunion,
bro.
Bringing them old niggas back, like, bro, why?
I don't even remember the 1991 Real World. I was two.
Yeah, I want to say I was three. I don't remember anything.
I don't remember that shit. I don't remember nothing pre-1993. Nothing. My five-year-old, my fifth birthday is the only thing I remember. After that, I don't remember nothing prior to me being 5 years old, my nigga. Nothing. So, like, let's just stop. Let's just leave. I feel like a lot of stuff, because streaming wars right now, and a lot of these streaming companies are trying to build their catalog up. We want to, redo shit from the 90s and the early 2000s. Leave that shit alone, man.
And I would say, and not only that, like you said, you speaking of streaming wars, and I'm glad you said that. A lot of these studios, they already own this content. So it's instead of saying, all right, we're going to pay this new person to make some shit, we're going to run this back again. We're just going
to. Yes. Because they're too lazy to make new content.
That's it. That's really what it is.
Too lazy to make new content. So my Goofy Mark of the Week is not LeBron. My Goofy Mark of the Week is not Space Jam 2 in general. It's just. It's a kid's movie. Like, y'all the niggas who make, paragraphs over fucking, let me tell you why Toy Story 2, why Toy Story isn't a good movie. Like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, I still ain't forgave Disney for the Lion King remake. You know what I'm saying? Y'all had Childish Gambino out there butchering it. What Chris Tucker say on Rush Hour 2 when the nigga was singing Michael Jackson? This man destroying a classic.
Oh, my God. Heard... Are you with me? Are you with me, Lion? Yeah. Like, get the fuck? Turn this shit off.
Hey, come on, man. Do not fuck up the guy Jason Weaver's version of I Just Want to Be King, man. What are you doing? So that's my Goofy Mark of the Week.
Man. Now, my Goofy Mark of the Week is whoever designed the All-Star Game court. I want y'all... No, y'all crack y'all jokes about HBCUs and shit, and I get it, I understand, but listen, HBCU culture is so much more than motherfucking marching bands and fraternities and sororities. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if this because they couldn't get the licensing to just put, you know, all the HBCU logos on the court, which was what they should have done, which would have been dope as fuck. But stop being lazy, bro. It's the same thing with all these companies who do these campaigns, and then you randomly see a nigga start stepping at the end of the commercial, and they just tell you that's what HBCU culture is. Like, it's so much more than that. And I feel like
with the different world colors on the court.
Oh my god! Like A Life just did a collab where they quote unquote, you know, donating $5 from these fucking $90 hoodies to the HBCUs. And she is literally just a black and white hoodie with box letters or whatever HBCU. You know what I'm saying? The shit is trash. And so it's like, you know, put effort into this. You know what I'm saying? Really hire some black folks and really, you know, do the research. And you can put out a lot of better product and it'll really show people that you actually care about what's going on. So like whoever designed that court, you need your ass beat because that was just really lazy and they could have did much better than that.
This is true, man. I saw that court. I was like, nigga, what type of fucking Hillman College ass?
Right. Like, who was this nigga high stepping next to the free throw line? Like, there's no reason for this.
And I don't like how they're trying to excuse, like, oh, yeah, we know we're going to be irresponsible this week. But guess what? This is going to HBCUs. Look at us. Like,
yeah, don't put this on us,
don't
nigga.
Don't lie to my right. face, my nigga. Right. Yeah, don't put this on us, my nigga. No lie to me, bro. I think those are two very good Goofy Mogs of the Weeks. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, we're going to take a three-week hiatus. We'll be back the week of March 21st. So any of you that this is basically for me telling y'all, do not tweet me. Over here, what an episode is. What an episode is. If you listen to the podcast, we'll be back the week of March 21st, bro. We have a lot more to talk about. You know what I'm saying? It'll be 2 months left in the regular season. We might have a new release date. I don't know. We're going to see what Dante's work schedule is. We're working on that. We will keep you updated on that. We appreciate everybody. Y'all, you know, Ball Don't Lie coming in like the top two of our most played podcasts since we restarted the season. So we can give a shout out to y'all. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Subscribe right now. I want to give a shout out to all 60 of our subscribers. We fuck with y'all. We give a lot of content on there. We got video content coming to y'all. We're going to start shooting summer sessions in person again for the first time in a year. I cannot wait to be around the guys getting drunk, talking shit like that. No, basically how this podcast got started. Since we've been doing it on Zoom, it feels a little bit too political for my liking. You know what I'm saying? So I can guarantee there's going to be more wild shit that's going to be said. So look out for that. Patreon is going to get the videos exclusively. So you might want to sign up for that $10 package right now. Barber's Chair Network premium VIP package. SoundCloud. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Of course, you can follow me and Dante. I'm sorry, I'm going to call you Pierce. I host a me podcast on this motherfucker, man. Follow Dante on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow him at OctoberZoneTay. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Scott. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram. You have something to say?
And before we go, I just want to let you niggas know it's a three-week hiatus. If the Chicago Bears get Russell Wilson,
oh, nigga,
in that time frame, we fuck around at the record.
Nigga.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And today, the smoke.
I will say this. I will say this. 48 hours ago, it felt like a pipe dream to me. The more information that's starting to come out from reliable sources, and then also, my man Tom Pelissero on NFL Network said this morning that the Bears are very aggressive, and he called them the most aggressive team trying to get a quarterback. Look, man, this shit might happen. I'm going to tell you right now, if this shit happens, by the way, you're just going to hear 79 at the house. You're just going to hear me yelling for like 10 minutes. If you thought the Khalil Mack episode was something, oh, nigga, we going to have a Ball Don't Lie. We just talking about football, nigga. It's going to be ridiculous. Oh, so God. If that happens, because we about, 6 weeks away from the draft?
Yeah.
So if Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson get traded, I think it's going to be in the next 6 weeks because nobody's going to trade after the draft.
And not only that, you know, there's been, like you said, a lot more talk about how there's going to be a roster turnover because of salary cap issues. A lot of marquee players are going to be out there and be available. And so
the side thing is Brad Bick said today is the Bears restructuring Cody Whitehair and Eddie Jackson's contracts right now.
Freeing up cap space.
Look, man, all I'm going to say is, bro, if that happens, look. I'm not going to have a Twitter, bro.
Right, if we get Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers twice a year and it's Bears-Packers.
Give it to me again. I cannot fucking.
If any franchise deserves it, we do. I'll put it like
that. Nigga, it's been too long, bro. It's been way too long, bro.
I need to put the Jay Cutler's my best quarterback ever shit to bed.
I need to put it. And look, I will be playing goodies on a speaker outside of Hallis Hall. I will get them streams up, nigga. I'll be singing 1-2 step, nigga. You gonna see me because I'm deleting all Future off my phone. We're gonna
get Sierra a daytime talk show in Chicago.
Daytime talk show in Chicago. She go, you know how she did the It's Up challenge? She gonna be doing it on her boat in Lake Michigan, nigga. Jay, like, come on, bro. Ryan Pace, you have fucked me over for 6 years. For 6 years, you owe me, goddamn it.
Right.
You fucking owe me. So that's all I'm gonna say about that, man. Y'all be good. If you're in Atlanta, be safe. We gonna holler at y'all in 3 weeks, man. We are out. Y'all stay up.